Chapter 15. The Unassailability of God's Plan. In the course of our considerations, we found ourselves, together with Asclepius, faced with a problem which was deliberately woven into the dialogue between Hermes and Asclepius in order to shed the right light on it. It was stated in verse 14 of the sixth book that the motion of the all is encompassed by the motionless. All that is moved does not move in something that is moved itself, but in something that is immovable. The motive force itself is also immovable because it cannot take part in the movement it causes. Now the question arises within Asclepius, but in what manner then are the things here on earth moved together with the things causing their movement? For you said that the sinful spheres are moved by the spheres of the sinless. Hermes replies, here is no question of a common movement, but of a counter movement, not of moving together, but of moving against each other. Now, this reply is alarming, but at the same time also consoling. What did Hermes mean? Let us try to understand. Imagine the universe in a perfectly virgin state, as described in the prologue of Genesis, the universe prior to creation. However, this emptiness is only apparent, because what is seemingly empty is a space filled with primordial substance, with cosmic root substance, which is the true nature of the beginning. In ancient Egyptian cosmology, this is often referred to as the mother, or as Isis. And when the Gnosis speaks of Mary, it means the same state of virgin primordial substance. Seven rays emanating from the immovable kingdom affect this primordial nature. They are the seven powers from the field of the universal spirit of God, and each of them is itself sevenfold. These seven times seven rays influence one another. They represent absolute life, absolute love, absolute intelligence, absolute harmony, absolute wisdom, absolute devotion, and absolute liberating action. It should be easy for you to understand that the seven rays influence one another, and that in every ray the six others must be present, if you remember that, to be truly liberating. Every action must include life, love, intelligence, harmony, wisdom, and devotion. As soon as the seven rays which emanate from the immovable, the solid, the unassailable, enter the primordial nature, the universal mother Isis, movement and activity will occur in it. This movement is always an absolutely cooperative movement. The primordial nature then demonstrates, by what emerges from it, what is contained in the deity. Emanating from the unknowable, the seven rays demonstrate the intentions of the deity in the primordial nature. By their activity and the manifestations thus caused in the primordial nature, it is through cooperative movement that the divine is propagated and manifested in the space of nature. If one bears in mind that all that has become manifest originated from the seven mutually determining divine rays, it will be clear that everything that has been created must bear within it the image, the essence, the nucleus of the divine. Everything that has been created contains a divine aim that can only be realized by cooperative movement. As soon as someone succeeds in moving harmoniously with God's plan, which acts within him by means of seven rays, the plan will be realized in and through him. This is a tremendous conclusion to which the Egyptian philosophy of Hermes Trismegistus leads. He who enters and perseveres in cooperative movement will realize God's plan in himself. In the whole of creation, there exists a perfect cooperative movement towards absolute divinity, but there is also the possibility of pronounced counter-movement. The possibility of achieving divinity, which is granted to the creature, implies absolute freedom. This freedom arises from the nature of the seven mutually determining divine rays. The Bible testifies of this when it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." That is why we see both cooperative movement and counter movement in the all manifestation. the freedom to enter the divine genesis of the all and become children of God, fundamentally and structurally, and the freedom to offer resistance and thus to lapse into the chaos of degenerated dialectics. We see and know dialectics. We can also see and know, if we want to, the life of the deity, the result of cooperative movement. We also see and know an intermediate group which is breaking away from the counter-movement and its consequences and ascending into the cooperative movement, the first consequence of which is transfiguration, that is, the undoing of the results of counter-movement. Primordial nature is the field of development which is contained in the deity. What will come when this development has been completed and crowned with success is a question to which the school can give no answer, because it is beyond its comprehension. The universal doctrine teaches that the creature is called to become one day like God, to rise from the created into the uncreated, or, to use the words of the ancient Chinese, to break through from the something into the nothing, that is, into what is boundless, into what simply cannot be spoken about. Let us now return to the counter-movement. You know what ghastly distress and confusion, what unnaturalness is caused by degenerated dialectics. You also know the consequence of counter-movement, crystallization. However, there is a great consolation, death. You should consider this carefully. It was possible for the counter-movement to come into being because of freedom, but if one uses that freedom to choose movement activity, one always creates consequences. Any given action will entail a corresponding result. The consequence of counter-movement is death. In other words, the result of counter-movement always annihilates itself. Don't you find that magnificent? Isn't it inexpressibly consoling? The counter-movement, the refusal to cooperate voluntarily in the realization of God's plan, which is the basis of our existence, cannot last forever, until finally it occupies the entire all-manifestation and breaks through to the immovable, thereby becoming static. Just imagine how terrible that would be. Know what is not included in the divine state, what does not originate from the divine state, in harmonious, cooperative movement, is so unreal, so powerless, so subject to crystallization, that at a given moment it must collapse. Then it will become quite clear that it is essentially nothing, that it annihilates itself. Only what is of the Spirit of the Lord is everlasting. Anyone who stands in counter-movement, who lies imprisoned in counter-movement, will be struck by continual dissolution and death until he realizes, thanks to the divine which lies submerged in all that has been created, that counter-movement is not cooperative movement and offers no salvation at all. In fact, its results are always broken up and dissolved. The path of salvation can be discovered only in association, in perfect harmony, with the seven universal rays. In this
way, one can become an Asclepius in a twofold sense. Have you already experienced that the continual struggle with yourself and your surroundings keeps you imprisoned in tension and distress? If this is the case, isn't it a consolation to know that whatever one does, one day insight will be gained on the path of experience, and sooner or later, everyone will enter the temple of renewal. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We cannot force you, for that would be against the principle of freedom and therefore undivine. However, at a given moment, you will rise in freedom to the one grace, to your destiny in the service of God, after having been purified and taught by personal experience and mortification. You are repeatedly informed about the path and its requirements, and we would gladly continue to inform you. We would like to go on shedding light on the universal doctrine, on the imperishable, magnificent path. However, we cannot do so, for time is pressing. The School of the Young Gnosis is not only an institution that teaches, it is also and primarily a living body. The living body is a progression. It always goes forward and invokes ever more strongly the 7x7 rays of the divine light, so that they burn like a mighty fire over the sanctuary. That is why, under the rays of this fire, we cannot just go on repeating, "This is what the path looks like, and now please take the first step." No, if you want to join us, and you have the freedom to do so, then you will have to come without any reservations and accept all the consequences. If you use your freedom to cling hand and foot to the earth, just remain with the earth. However, if you want to proceed with the living body of the school and cooperate with it, then now is the time to do so. We are discussing these things to help you gain insight and achieve profound self-knowledge. You will have to find out in a short time what is in cooperative movement within you and what is in counter movement with your divine destiny. If you have an inquiring mind, you might still ask how it is possible that at a given moment death strikes all who stand in counter movement. The answer is simple, as appears from Hermes's reply to Aesculapius. As the sinful spheres are moved in a direction opposite to that of the sinless sphere they are moved, in this counter-movement, by the stationary point of equilibrium around the resisting sphere. It really cannot be otherwise. The circulation is nothing but the movement around the same center, a movement which is completely governed by the immovability of the center. The revolution forestalls deviation, and by forestalling the deviation, the revolution is perpetuated. Also, the counter-movement stands still in the point of equilibrium, because it becomes static through the resisting movement. By this, Hermes meant to say that if you abuse your freedom and act against the divine intention, which in immobility governs the motion of the all, the resistance provoked by your counter-movement will then grow to such proportions that the result of your undivine life can no longer withstand it and is annihilated. Counter-movement produces resistance. The vibration of this resistance increases until scorching and destruction come about. The resistance is not caused by the deity, but by you yourself. Therefore, sorrow about difficulties on the path of life is irrational, for you created them yourself, although it often seems to you as though your fellow men were to blame. The deity does not fight against, punish, or judge you in the ordinary sense. You do it yourself. Whether because of your microcosmic past or because of what you do in the present, you invoke resistances and eventually perish through them. If that is how you are not living, but you exist in a constant state of perishing which you erroneously consider to be life. Let us strive and work perseveringly to transform our lives into true cooperative movement so that we may find mercy in the 7 powers emanating from the Logos. For the one life only develops out of true cooperative movement.